All right, Jim, we're...
And make a presentation.
All right, we're going to, we'll be back in session. Being this is a public hearing, I will turn it over to Mr. Griffin. Being Mr. Dukes has excused himself, Mr. Griffin.
Thank you. We'll start the public hearing. First, the applicant who requested the hearing will be given an opportunity to present their information. And after they have presented their case, we will then open it up to comment from any members of the public who are present. And as you're called to the stand, please state your name and your address so we'll have that for the record. And then the reasons if you are in opposition, why you are in opposition. After council has heard both sides of it, then it will likely not make a decision today, probably will post not with at least defer it until they've had an opportunity to consider all the evidence, consult with me as their attorney, and then any decision they do make will be made in a public session, whether it is made today or at a future meeting of council. Mr. Pardee, would you like to proceed?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Griffin. Good morning, and thank you for giving us an opportunity to present this appeal hearing this morning. For the record, my name is John Pardee. I'm an attorney with the law firm Prickett, Jones & Elliott in Dover. And with us today are Zach Crouch from the engineering firm of Davis, Bowen & Friedel. He is the project engineer. John Dixon is the principal for La Crosse Homes. And also with us this morning is Bruce Patrick from Tidewater Utilities, who is available to speak about the on-site wastewater treatment plant. If I may, I'd like to start with just a little brief procedural history to sort of set the background and explain to you that unfortunately Mr. Crouch was not available to be at the May 24th public hearing before the Planning and Zoning Commission, and I suppose I should say fortunately for him, because the reason he was not able to be present was his wife was giving birth to their child. So with apologies, we had a substitute fill in that day, and the hearing perhaps would have been a little bit different had Mr. Crouch been available. In any event, we had our hearing on May 24th before the commission, and we made our presentation. There were, frankly, very few questions from the commission, and Commissioner Gordy moved to defer action for further consideration, which I understand is their typical practice. So the next meeting of the commission was on June 20th of 2007, and when this matter came up on the agenda, Mr. Gordy made a motion to approve, and he recited all the reasons why he believed the project complied with all of your code requirements, and for reasons we'll submit this morning, in fact, the project does comply with all of your code requirements. The reasons for his motion are set forth in the minutes of the June 20th meeting. I'll not bother to belabor you with them this morning other than to suggest that you take a look at them, because I think Mr. Gordy got it right on June 20th. Unfortunately, one of the other commissioners that day, Commissioner Burton, had to abstain from participating in the decision because he was not present at the May 24th public hearing. And in the absence of a second to Commissioner Gordy's motion, the commission moved to defer yet again in order to give Commissioner Burton sufficient time and opportunity to review the May 24th record. When the matter came back up before the commission on June 28th, unfortunately, Mr. Burton was not available. So the reason for the deferral was still prevailing. That is, Mr. Burton was not available. But nevertheless, without any real discussion or deliberation, one of the commissioners moved to deny the application and cited, in fact, the exact opposite reasons that Commissioner Gordy had cited on June 20th. And unfortunately for us, that motion carried, and hence we're here today before you. Now, it's impossible to know with any certainty whether the result would have been any different if the commission had deferred until a full complement of the commission had been available. But frankly, we submit that the commission should have been given that opportunity. Unfortunately, they were not, and so we're stuck with the record that was made. The question, I think, becomes whether Commissioner Gordy's motion was correct on June 20th. That is, does the application satisfy all of your code requirements? Does the proposed cluster development provide a total environment and design which are superior to a standard by right subdivision which will not have any adverse effect on natural resources? We submit respectfully that the answer is yes, that Commissioner Gordy had it right, and that the motion that was ultimately approved on June 28th, unfortunately, got it wrong. The criteria under Section 115-25 of the Sussex County Code for consideration of a cluster development are four. First, does the proposed cluster development comply with all requirements set forth in Section 115-25 of the Code relating to cluster developments as a permitted use in the AR1 zoning district? Two, does the proposed cluster development provide a total environment and design which are superior to that which would be allowed under the regulations for the standard option? Three, will the cluster development plan preserve the natural environment and any historic or archaeological resources? And four, have all the considerations in Section 99-9C of the subdivision ordinance been addressed? And does the approval of the cluster option for the development have any adverse effect on any of those considerations? We submit that this project complies with all four of those criteria, and we're going to attempt to demonstrate that to you this morning. Now, you'll note we've provided you with a packet of materials that gathered documents from the record before the commission, along with a cover letter that is addressed to the council from myself, responding to all of the various rationale offered by the commission in support of its decision. I'd rather not bore you with a point-by-point recitation of every subject detailed in that letter, so we're going to try and just touch on the highlights this morning. But I would submit to you that one of the critical points covered in that letter is that the 17 considerations set forth in 99-9C are addressed favorably by this application. And suffice it to say, we believe that the application fully and adequately addresses all of the criteria in the ordinance. We have some materials here, an outline that I put together for our presentation that we'll also submit to you when we're finished, and hopefully you'll have the time during your deliberations to consider all of those materials.
Are you referring to this book?
No, Mr. Griffin, I'm referring to both, that book, but I also have a copy of the outline that I'm presenting, which I would like to present to you as well in an effort to save time, because in my outline, as I'll explain, I detail all of the points that were in fact addressed by the application, and those are borne out a little more fully in the letter and in the outline.
You wish this be part of the record?
Yes, sir. Several points referenced in the Commission's written decision were never raised or discussed during our May 24th public hearing, and hence, other than presenting an application submission which meets all of your code requirements, we were really never afforded an opportunity to address all of the reasons that were cited for the Commission's decision. And during our presentation today, we're going to attempt to do that. The first, and I think this is critical because it's one of the four criteria I mentioned at the beginning, is that the proposed cluster development is, in fact, a superior design over the standard option. And at this point in our presentation, I'd like to introduce Mr. Zach Crouch, who will present that portion of our presentation. Mr. Crouch.
Good morning. Zach Crouch with Davis Bowen Friedel. As explained by Mr. Pardee, I think one of the key issues here that was kind of brought up at Planning Commission was, you know, the superior design. And I'd like to go through a couple things and mention how we describe this project as being superior than a typical subdivision within the county. The first thing is, of course, you know, the density is 1.5 units per acre, which does not exceed your typical subdivision. I'd like to walk over to the board. Open space, there's 46% of this project is open space. What we did was we eliminated, the question that always comes up with the subdivisions is, you know, did you include the community center, did you include stormwater management, did you include this, that, and the other? You know, the fact of the matter is 40% of this project of 219 acres is open space. If you eliminate the community system, you eliminate all the stormwater management ponds, the open space is 36%, which still exceeds the requirements for the cluster. And if you eliminate everything on the north side of Trussing Pond Road, does this, where all the subdivision lots are located, does this meet the requirements for the 30%? If we took that out of the project, most definitely. The requirement for the cluster ordinance is 64 acres of open space, and just this side alone is 64.8 acres. Your typical subdivision for Sussex County, the requirement for open space is only 10%. So there again, this shows our ability, and based on, you know, I mean, in the package that Mr. Pardee referenced that addresses all 17 points in Ordinance 99-9C, you know, there's certain criteria that you need to meet to say that you've accomplished a cluster subdivision for superior design. And by doing that, you also utilize some of the state literature to do that, as well as Liberal Delaware and the state strategies. And it actually, I went into detail in the packages. I'm not going to do it here, but I went into detail through the, there's four steps in considering open space design for a project, and there's four, if you want to call it, techniques of doing that. And we addressed every technique in there to establish the open space, which protects environmental features, i.e. wetlands, woodlands. No wetlands will be disturbed. No woodlands will be removed from the site. And to centralize open space within the development. And by the concept that's in front of you today, you can see how there's open space that's centrally located in the subdivision that one over 219 lots in the subdivision backs up to open space. 219 lots out of 320 backs up to open space, which includes the buffer, which is around the whole perimeter of the subdivision. There is a requirement for a buffer, which is 30 feet along agricultural lands. We carry that and continue that buffer around the entire perimeter of where the lots are located in front of the conceptual plan that's in front of you today. The proposed cluster subdivision will also provide sidewalks on both sides of the street, street lighting. Of course, the 46% of open space, which there again exceeds the requirement of 30% for the cluster subdivision ordinance. It will have a community septic system and also central water to meet all fire protection and domestic requirements. And then, the streets. The streets will be designed and maintained by DLDOT. They will not be county streets. And, you know, the difference between a county, a private street, and DLDOT streets is probably 4 to 6 inches of crush and run and probably 2.5 inches of asphalt. They will be designed, and DLDOT will take them over as part of their maintenance. So, there again, it's not a burden which will be put on the HOA. And there, the key factors that I believe make this a subdivision that's superior to than your typical subdivision. I'll turn it over to John Pardee, but there again, as he mentioned, the package that is in front of you is outlined the 17 points as well as some of the characteristics that was put into the development itself to come up with the concept that's in front of you today.
Thank you, Zach. Let me just highlight briefly what you just heard from Mr. Crouch. The permitted density is 1.5 units per acre. This cluster design satisfies that requirement. The critical point is there's a lot more open space preserved in a cluster design than there ever is in a standard subdivision. That's required by your ordinance. It's 30% versus 10%. This design has 46%, which exceeds your requirement substantially. And if you think about it, the way this is set out on this plan is ideal. It meets the intent and purposes of a cluster design. The idea is to cluster open space in a central location because it makes it more readily accessible and therefore more likely to actually be used by the community. If you break the open space up into smaller segregated pockets, as the commission had suggested, so that you have open space in between or behind every home, then it's much less likely that it will actually be used by everyone in the community. And furthermore, it creates a maintenance and a safety issue. If you have open space running behind every home that is not the property of the homeowner, then the homeowners association has to maintain it. And you're talking about strips of land that will likely not be used as much as a centrally located open space with lots of amenities, which this plan shows. And for that reason, we submit respectfully that it is a superior design. You're going to have sidewalks on both sides of all streets, street lighting, a surplus of open space, a community wastewater treatment system, and DelDOT streets. None of that is required in a standard subdivision design. And so, again, what you have before you is a lot more attractive and I think a lot more in tune with what you're looking for in this area. Let me turn, if I may, to the Section 99C criteria. And again, in my letter, I go to great lengths to explain how the plan addresses each one of those 17 criteria. I'm not going to bore you with all of those at the moment, other than to direct your attention to the letter when you have time. I would like to give you a couple of examples, though. First, the commission found that the applicant did not explain, at least to their satisfaction, why the project will not adversely affect area roadways and provide for safe vehicular and pedestrian movement within the site and along adjacent roads. In fact, the applicant did, and this proposal before you does. The streets will be built to DelDOT specs. They will be DelDOT maintained. There'll be curbing, streetlights, and sidewalks on both sides of all streets. A traffic impact study was performed and approved by DelDOT. The developer is going to have to pay for all off-site improvements that are part of the TIS, and that includes repaving Gordy Road from the entrance of the project all the way to Wooten and Trussum Pond Roads. So we explained all of that. In fact, there are going to be 11-foot lanes with 5-foot shoulders on those roads, and those are the ways that this project proposes to provide for safe vehicular and pedestrian movement, not only within the site, but along adjacent roads. So we did address that. It's in the record. Another good example, the commission found that the applicant failed to explain how the proposed cluster development provides for a total environment and design which are superior to a standard subdivision. You just heard Mr. Crouch and I explain why that's not the case. There are others that are cited in the decision. I'll mention them briefly. The commission found that the applicant did not address how the proposed development would be integrated into the existing terrain and surrounding landscape. In fact, as the testimony on May 24th bore out, the entire perimeter of the site will have a 30-foot forested buffer, and the buffer has a mix of trees and shrubs with walking trails. None of the woodland areas will be disturbed at all, and there's a 50-foot buffer from all wetlands. So we did address that. It's in the record. The commission also found that we failed to address whether the proposed development will adversely affect natural areas or cause significant tree vegetation and soil removal. Again, we're preserving all woodlands. It's all in the record. We did address that point. They found that we failed to address how the project promotes the preservation of open space. And again, I think this design preserves much more open space than any standard subdivision design would, and that's borne out in the record as well. Lastly, among the reasons cited in the written decision, the commission found that the proposed cluster development did not, or at least the presentation, did not do an adequate job of explaining how the proposal preserves the natural environment. Again, there are 24 acres of active open space, a total of 64 acres of open space on the south side, and 11 acres of open space on the north side. That's a total of 98 plus acres of open space. The entire perimeter of the site has the forested buffer I mentioned, the 50-foot buffer from the wetlands, and frankly, there are very little wetlands on this site to begin with, and the location of the treatment plant, which Mr. Bruce, help me. Patrick, thank you. I've known Bruce for probably 15 years, and I couldn't remember his last name. Bruce Patrick will explain to you where the wastewater treatment system is intended to be located in the design and how that is not going to have any impact whatsoever on James Branch or any of the other environmental areas. Again, I would direct your attention to our letter in the packet that's been submitted. We have addressed all 17 of the criteria in Section 99-9C. I'll mention four other flaws in the Commission's decision. First, while it may be true that almost a third of the lots, that is 101, do not back up to open space, more than two-thirds of the proposed lots do border open spaces and or forested buffer areas. And again, the concept in cluster development design is to cluster the homes closer together in order to preserve greater open space, and it's therefore counterintuitive or cross-purposes to suggest that homes in a cluster subdivision development should not be located close to one another, or that they should all border on open spaces. That's not clustering. That's sprawl. That's spreading them out. That's what you see in a standard subdivision. The design of the cluster development proposed by the applicant, I think, is an exemplary compromise of these competing objectives. That is, you cluster the lots as close together as possible in order to preserve as much open space as possible, and yet at the same time, you try to give each lot some proximity to the open space and buffers. This plan does that. As you heard Mr. Kraft say, 219 of the 320 homes back up to open space and buffers. Second, the Commission's suggestion that the proposed active and passive open areas constitute only 22% of the project is simply wrong. There are a total of 98.82 acres of open space provided, which is, again, 46% of the total site. Now, I think, in fairness to the Commission, the way they came up with 22% is they took away everything on the north side of the road, and all they counted was the cross, the green space in the middle. But they forgot to include all the other open space around the perimeter and the other sites, even on the south side. As Mr. Crouch explained, even on the south side, take the north side away, we still satisfy your open space requirement. So unfortunately, the Commission was simply wrong in that conclusion. Third, the Commission's finding that the proposed cluster development is, quote, totally out of character for this rural, predominantly agricultural and nature preserve area is simply inaccurate. For the reasons we've mentioned or touched on previously, this proposed cluster design does a much better job of preserving open space and protecting natural resources than any standard by-right subdivision project would ever permit. Furthermore, the proposed development is located just outside the town of Laurel, and I believe Mr. Crouch has an exhibit we can show you that demonstrates that the town of Laurel's new comprehensive plan shows that this project is only 1.5 miles outside of their proposed comp plan area. And I'll ask Mr. Crouch to put, yes, that map right there, if you would, please. I'll ask Mr. Crouch to point to Old Stage Road. That is where the town's new comp plan currently comes to. It extends out to Old Stage Road. And the distance between Old Stage Road and this project, as you can see from the map, is only about a half a dozen large parcel properties, and it's about 1.5 miles. So it's really not that far outside the town of Laurel. It's also within 1 mile of lands in Kent County that are zoned for general residential use, and a mere 1.5 miles from a level 3 area designated for growth under your comprehensive plan.
You mean to say Sussex County?
I'm sorry.
I said Kent County.
I apologize profusely. The battery is jamming up on me. God forbid me for saying that. In Sussex County's comp plan, you have properties that you have designated for general residential development in this area, and we're not that far from a level 3 area that your comp plan designates for growth. Moreover, there are a number of properties within the immediate vicinity which are also likely to be developed for residential uses in the foreseeable future. Most critically, the proposed cluster development is a permitted use in the AR1 zoning district. Why would you offer this as an option? In fact, it's the best option, if you think about it, because what your code permits to go here is a standard by-right subdivision. And that's not going to be anywhere near as attractive or sensitive to the environmental concerns as this project would be, for all the reasons we've stated. So the proposed cluster development is not totally out of character. Rather, it is a permitted use that is contemplated and expressly permitted by your zoning ordinance and your comprehensive plan. Fourth, and I'll sit down here in a moment, and we're almost done. The Commission's conclusion that the proposed cluster development impacts all three layers of the green infrastructure map, which are cropland, forest, and nature resources, is simply incorrect. And Mr. Crouch is going to show you a map. I'll ask him to address that issue briefly, if he would.
Actually, this map is also in your package, and
and the actual map that was pulled off the website for Denerec is in your package. We actually just cleaned this one up a little bit just to show where the property was and also in reference to where the community system is. But there's three areas that was stated that was in the commissioner's list of things that, you know, that we, the Denerec, the three infrastructure for Denerec were, we were affecting, and the three are the natural resources, the forested and cropland, which are notated here in the legend. And as you can see, this project will not, I say again, will not affect any three of those green three layers. That map is actually pulled right off the Denerec website. The on-site system will be a total of 400 feet from James Branch. There's a letter in the file from Greenstone Engineering, which has done some studies on the soils and actually has submitted the preliminary groundwater impact study. Thanks, Bruce. And it has been approved by Denerec, which shows there will not be any impact to James Branch based on the location of the community system. I know Bruce is going to get up here and kind of go over the location of it. The location that's shown there is a lot bigger than what was, based on the studies, is required. But I'll let Bruce go over that as part of his presentation. But there again, none of the three layers will be affected by this project.
Thank you, Zach. I want to just make it clear for the members of the council what the legend on this map shows. The crop areas are shown in the burgundy color. The natural areas are shown in blue.
Along here.
And then the forest areas are shown in the crosshatched green. Now you'll see that the property to the north of Trussum Pond Road actually does include some of that. But the area that's proposed for development does not encroach into any of those areas whatsoever. The footprint for the wastewater treatment system is shown in red on this map. And actually, as Mr. Patrick will show you, where the basins are going to be are even farther pulled back from these areas. So there are no structures or improvements whatsoever, no stormwater management ponds, no wastewater treatment system basins, nothing whatsoever in any one of those three impact areas. So when the commission suggested that this project will encroach into those areas, unfortunately that was not correct. Two things. You'll note that the commission suggested that not doing the project at all was the best avenue. And unfortunately, that's frankly unrealistic. This property is designated by your comp plan and your zoning ordinance. It's permitted to be developed for residential use. And frankly, as I've said, the cluster design is the most environmentally sensitive way to do that. It's the best option. You should take this opportunity to embrace this concept rather than let somebody build a standard subdivision on this site. It's a far superior design, and given that residential subdivision of the property is permitted, the proposed cluster development makes the most sense. It's the most responsible way, and frankly, the commission's failure to recognize that suggests that their decision was based more on populist sentiment than on the criteria in your ordinance, which this project clearly satisfies. One last thing, the wastewater treatment system. I promised you we'd talk about that briefly. I'm going to bring Mr. Patrick up here in a moment. But I wanted to draw your attention to the letter that is Exhibit B in the packet that we provided. It's a letter from Jack Hayes at Denrec, and it talks about one of the real assets, one of the benefits of this project as proposed, and that is the wastewater treatment system proposed for this site is proposed to be, in a sense, regional. It's large enough. We have enough capacity that we can accommodate some other developments already existing not new developments, but already existing developments in the area that have failing septic systems, and those are Briarwood and Sandy Ridge. You may be familiar with Briarwood. It is currently under a consent decree with DENREC. Their septic system is failing. Also, Sandy Ridge has a failing septic system. And Mr. Hayes' letter in our notebook submission at Exhibit 5 sounds out that we propose, and it will be possible to do, it's feasible to do, that we can accommodate their needs in this system. And Mr. Patrick will explain that a little bit more. But the benefit of this project is that it also cleans up two existing developments that have failing septic systems.
Where are they located on the map?
That's, is that Briarwood? Okay, and Sandy Ridge is behind it? Okay, so they are just down Trussum Road, closer to Laurel, but they're both outside of the town limits of Laurel, but close. And at this point, I'd ask Mr. Patrick if he would please come forward. He has an exhibit that he can show you that is a preliminary design of the layout of the proposed wastewater treatment system, and I'll pass that out.
Good morning, gentlemen. My name is Bruce Patrick, Vice President of Engineering with Tidewater Utilities. This is very similar to some of the plants you've seen in other areas of the county. One thing I'd like to kind of clear up, I've heard it referred to as a community system. I really like to refer to it as an advanced treatment, wastewater treatment and disposal system. This is what's being proposed as an aqua aerobics SBR system with rapid infiltration disposal. It will treat to very high standards, essentially treating to drinking water standards. The total nitrogen that will come out of the plant will be 10 milligrams per liter, which actually far exceeds most municipal applications. So what we're proposing is something that's that will be implemented that would actually exceed what exists in a lot of municipalities. So it's a very high treatment level. The disposal site itself, as John Enzak referred to, is phenomenal. You have 7 to 10 foot depth to the seasonal high groundwater table. It's very permeable. We've done very in-depth soil studies and hydrogeological studies that has indicated that the site can actually, from a disposal perspective, handle much more than what's proposed. We have had contact from both Briarwood and from Sandy Ridge, and we certainly can help, you know, with this situation. As John had mentioned, Briarwood is under a consent decree, so they're very anxious. DENREC has actually promoted this option as being one of the solutions to help solve that problem. I would point out that the treatment facilities would all be contained inside a building. It would be an architecturally pleasing building that would fit in with the surrounding. And again, it's very similar to others that have recently been constructed and exist in Sussex County. If there's any questions, I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Any questions of Mr. Patrick? Thank you.
Thank you, Bruce. In closing, gentlemen, we respectfully submit that the commission, frankly, erred in its decision, that Commissioner Gordy's initial motion was the right motion, that he got it right. And the record, I think, clearly demonstrates that the four criteria I mentioned at the beginning of our presentation have been satisfied. That is, number one, the proposed cluster development satisfies all of the requirements set forth in Section 115.25 of the Sussex County Code relating to cluster developments in the AR1 zoning district. Two, the proposed cluster development provides a total environment and design which are superior to that which would be allowed under the regulations for the standard option. Three, the cluster development plan will preserve the natural environment and any historic or archaeological resources. By the way, there are no historic or archaeological resources, so we're really talking about preserving the natural environment. And as you heard in the testimony, there is no intrusion or encroachment whatsoever into any environmental resources. In fact, this cluster design preserves natural resources much better than a standard plan would. Fourth and finally, all of the considerations in Section 99-9C of the subdivision ordinance, the 17 criteria, have been addressed. They are detailed in exhaustive detail in the packet that we presented to you. So approval of the cluster option for the proposed development will not have an adverse effect on any of those considerations. And for all of the foregoing reasons, We would respectfully request that you reverse the June 28, 2007 decision of the Commission and grant preliminary subdivision approval for the proposed cluster development. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer them. Thank you for your time.
Any questions? Thank you. Now's the time when we would consider any comments in opposition or anyone who has questions or concerns. As we said earlier, when you come to the podium, just state your name and address and then make your statement. We would ask if you all, if you both plan to speak, we'd ask you come individually.
Okay. My name's Arbeline Moore. Good afternoon to you both, all of you. Probably I'm one of the older members that have lived in the area of Trussum Pond, Gordy Road, and Wooten Road. I was born on Gordy Road. I was raised on Trussum Pond Road for part of my life, and then my mother purchased property back on Gordy Road. And then when I married at age 18, we purchased property on Trussum Pond Road. And I have talked to my neighbors and friends in the area, and I have here 62 names, and many of them, there was more that couldn't be here because of the work schedule and the time. But I would like to read to you what I have said. We, the property owners and nearby residents near the proposed cluster development located north of Road 70, Gordy Road, 1,500 feet west of Road 72, which is Wooten Road, and on both sides of Road 462, Trussum Pond Road, we wish to express our concerns that justify not turning the farmland into a huge development, especially since there is another development, which they didn't mention, but I understand there's another development. 300 homes being developed or supposed to be developed this fall west on Road 462, which is just this side of the trailer park. Our reason for not having this cluster development are with 320 lots, there will be approximately 2 children per home, or an additional 640 children. Our schools are already overcrowded, as well as the Laurel Fire Department, which is already stretched to its limits, as well as our roads. With the additional cars and trucks that we are now experiencing, certainly we give Del Dot more headaches, as they have expressed funds are limited for our roads. We also disagree to this development because it's taken away more of our farmlands and the tranquility of our country living. And included with this letter is our signatures. I also like to emphasize the fact that since I've been on that road, both roads, there have been homes that have been built there, but there's always farmland behind it. And we enjoy the corn, the beans, see the deer run through occasionally. And we're not we're not far from town, that's true. Our road right now on Trussum Pond Road is wore out. the roads have been taken care of from Johnny Janosik's down to State Road, or the road going over to Route 24, but that's as far as they have carried it. Now, as I have said, I'm against it. I enjoy the country life, and I would like to say it the rest of my life be held as farmland. Thank you very much.
Could you tell us how far your lot is, your property is from
it's,
this?
They're right behind me and my son.
Okay.
We're right there where the proposed, it's right in back of us, between us and Gordy Road.
Right. Okay. Are you back on this side on Gordy Road or you're up in this area?
If I may, I can show you on this map right here.
I was going to say, my son probably can show you better than I can.
Yeah, okay.
They also mentioned the fact.
Okay.
Mentioned
you're on the
fact
part of
about the wastewater.
How management.
Huh?
Pardon me?
You're up against the stormwater management pond.
Not quite.
Pretty close, though. With the buffer.
They're behind that.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
I don't know how the wastewater, what they're talking about, can take care of the park way down 2 miles from us. But that's my opinion. So thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Your seat.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I'm going to give it to you, Jim.
We'll make this part of the record. Yes, sir?
Good afternoon. My name is Michael Lowe. I live on Trussell Pond Road. That was my mother that was just speaking. I don't want to go over the same things that she just said, but as far as the streets being maintained by DelDOT, as far as I know, speaking with people in DelDOT, they haven't seen anything come across their desk. I would be interested in seeing that paperwork. The pavement that he was talking about doing, or the improvements to the road from the entrance on Gordy Road down Wooten Road, they're not speaking about doing any improvements on Trussell Pond Road at all. I don't know if anybody here has ridden down Trussell Pond Road lately, but it's in bad despair as it is. You start adding 600 and some vehicles, just cars and pickups down it, not including what kind of construction would be coming down there. It would deteriorate that road completely. Adding the other development that was supposedly proposed down the road about a mile and a half, you're talking a good 1,200 and plus vehicles coming down that round top country road. DelDOT is already stressed as far as doing road work, from my understanding, and unless they consider doing a flat pavement on this road, there's not enough room to do much improvement to this road to accompany this kind of traffic. I believe Mr. Gordy had it right when he denied it the first time. I think he knew what he was talking about. I don't have a bunch of paperwork to show different studies, but if this septic that they're proposing were to endure a flood like we had last year, it would definitely impact the James Branch, which would then flow into other tributaries. The septic that they're speaking of possibly taking care of from Briarwood and Sandy Ridge is actually closer to the Laurel Town new wastewater treatment plant that they're in process, I believe, of building now. I don't know that the town limits come across the highway. I'm not real sure. But as far as I know, we're 2.5 miles from the highway. Unless Johnny Genosics has been annexed into the town of Laurel, I'm not sure. But this project is 2.5 miles from Route 13. The other stipulation is the only traffic light that would access this development to the highway is on Trussell Pond Road and not Gordy Road. I would assume that most people on a busy day would rather try to get on the highway at a traffic light than sit and wait their turn at a regular country entrance to the highway. Basically, that's most of all I had to say. This called a cluster development is more like putting a town in the middle of some place that's not adequate to handle it, and I just don't believe it's the right time and place to put that. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir.
Anyone else present?
My name is Emory Roller. I live at 12791 Trussell Pond Road. I travel this area pretty much so. I'm chaplain of the American Legion. I also feed seniors in the area. I travel all over this area. I thought that this meeting was supposed to be for that project called the Cross or whatever. Also, you know the Trussell Pond is a point of interest in the state. There's people come from all around to see that trees growing in the, in other words, it's really something to be seen, same way as Trap Pond. Also that there's many seniors like myself that moved from bigger cities to be in the country, away from all that city traffic. That's why I like it there. My wife died 3 years ago. She was an artist and painted. What is in that area? I did not know that the concern of this meeting was for that project at the other end of the road, the bad water situation and the sewage. That should be taken care of by the town, just like it was stated before. I had put in a proposal 3 years ago to block. Johnny Janosik tried to block that road. And I got 620-some signatures, and they're all registered by the state. I sent that in. That road should not be blocked from across the road down that road. If anybody thinks they're going to do it, we're going to put another proposal in, and I will see that it gets through, because the time of response for any ambulances, fire service, is the first 8 minutes that these people must have that time in order for that ambulance or fire service to get there. I just feel it this way. Seniors are there for a little while. I'm a senior. I see a lot more than these people sitting right here. They're probably not even living in the area. But I am a resident. I'm speaking for the people because I see the people and talk to the people. And I know what I'm talking about. And that's all I have to say at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Anyone else?
My name is Lewis Lowe. I live on Wooten Road. I've lived there for 70 years. If I want to live in the town, I'll move to town. And our roads cannot stand it. I live there, so I know how much traffic there is already without adding all this on. And I just like it's been previously said, I don't think our fire companies, our schools, and all can handle all this. So you're all going to be taxed for it. Mm-hmm. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, sir.
Anyone else? Last call. Anybody else? Kramer.
My name is Dan Kramer, 041 Scott Store Road. I want to know why you didn't call up the people that were for it before you called up the people after the fact.
If you are for it, we'll hear that now.
All right. Now, I'm going to tell you why I'm for this. Number one, how do you save land? High development. How do you save land? Cluster. And where did this planning and zoning, sitting on the turkeys, doing nothing, but being a bunch of louses on this issue, they should have passed it, but no, they had to get stupid. And if you look at the minutes, they made even a statement, oh, because there's farm equipment in the area. Well, let me tell you something. If that's the case, we better get rid of all the farms, because there is not one town that doesn't have farm equipment going through it, around it, or being tilled next to a farm. So they can't very well use that as an excuse that this doesn't work. Now, the next question boils down to one thing is, here you got a development, beautiful development, but there's nothing to prevent these guys from putting all them houses in there except use the whole kit and boo, right? Use all the land. Nothing prevents them to do it, is there?
Other than the process, the subdivision process.
Right. So it still goes through the process, and 9 chances out of 10, it would be approved. 99.9% of the time, it would be approved. But then you're going to have all the septic tanks, wells, the whole getting boodle, no lights, no sidewalks, no nothing, and you're going to have the same amount of traffic. So if you guys reject this, guess what? These guys will go ahead and develop it anyhow. just the opposite way, and they'll still have your 300 cars. And as far as students coming in, my guess is you might have a 100 or two, but you sure ain't going to have a whole bunch of them, because most of them probably be retirees moving in here. And of course, as far as school, all the schools are going to be overloaded. No, they're not. And first of all, the proven fact that that's an excuse not to be developed is because schools and all the fire companies can't get out there to the fire. Well, I'll tell you what, if they can't get out there, then they better hide in a hole someplace, because the roads are still there, the cars are still there, and they're going to be there come hell or high water. They're still always going to be there. And regardless of what happens, you can argue the point all you want, this is the way to go. And they made a mistake when they voted it down. Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you, Mayor.
Okay. Gentleman in the back.
May I speak?
Oh, you have to come up here, sir.
Yes, okay.
And you're speaking as to your own reasons, not in response to what the prior gentleman said.
No. My name is Lee Collins. I live at 14272 Wooten Road on a farm that's owned by my wife's family. It's a generation farm. It's been there a long time. I have concerns, both being a farmer and an auctioneer that sells farm equipment, about moving farm equipment, not just in that area, but everywhere around there, because of the houses and the traffic. And as far as the traffic coming off of 13, I would invite whoever did the traffic survey to go to the light on Saturday and Sunday and try and get through it within three light changes. You have the flea market, you have the trailer park, Sussex Irrigation, Sussex Machine Works, this other proposed development. We have enough traffic on Trussell Pond Road. And also, I am a school bus contractor, and thank the Lord that my bus does not pick up that area. I have seen in our school district that I do carry for, in the past, we've had to add school buses. Schools do get crowded. We do not have people jumping on the schoolhouse doors anymore to obtain school bus contracts. I would ask that the county council look at the infrastructure first, with the impact on the schools, the impact on the traffic, before making their decision, and also the impact on the farmer and the people that just enjoy the country way of living. And for that, I thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Does that conclude our comments?
Got one more in the back.
Is there anybody else?
All right, he's ready.
Thank you very much for your presentation. We will close the record. Much pleasure, gentlemen.
Close the record and defer it, right?
Yeah, second. We move to second that we close the record and defer action on this particular hearing. Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes, motion passed. We will put it back on the, like I said, we'll probably meet an executive session. Is that right, Jim? Could we?
If members of council wish to discuss this, since it's pending and potential litigation, and they also have a right to meet with their attorney to ask questions regarding legal impacts, so they may choose to note it for an executive session. But obviously, that's only for discussion only, and any decision that's made has to be made in open public session. But there will be no further public hearing. We've taken all the testimony. It's really a matter of going over what we've got and deciding how to proceed from here.
Thank you very much. We'll wait for CZ just a second. Next on the agenda is grant requests.
They're all yours today, right?
Yeah. Are you or two?
Where?
Here. Both of them.
Just two grants today. The right. First.
What?
Ready?
Yep.
Yeah.
The first one, Georgetown EMS.
Give them a bunch today. What do you
think? Station 93.
Georgetown?
Yeah, I gave $85 out of my own account at that rate, and then $50 each from everybody else. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So moved.
Second.
Good. Second that we take $85 out of mine, plus 50 out of everybody's, including mine. So that would be roughly 130.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes. Motion passed.
Thanksgiving for thousands. For an open Thanksgiving dinner, we gave 1,200 each.
So moved.
1,200
each. 1,000 dollars, 200 each.
Yeah. We knew what you meant.
I moved to give $200.
It's been moved to second that we give $200 each from our. I guess that would be Councilman.
Yes, it was Councilmatic.
Okay. Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Rogers.
Yes.
Yes. Motion passed. Introduction of ordinance? Anything, Jim?
I have none.
No, that's a good thing. And additional business?
Got it.
Damn, I thought Hal was on one left. What the hell are you doing sitting
over
there?
All the day turkeys.
My name is Dan Kramer.
Where are you from?
And I'm going to tell you what. I'm from a much bigger than you think I'm from. I want to know. This is what I want to talk about. Taxes.
Yeah, taxes.
They're going to raise you.
Yeah, well, I had a guy talk to me about his property taxes. And he said to me, look, the county charges me if I'm late. What's it, 1.5% or something?
1.5%.
Huh?
1.5%.
Yeah. He says, then how come don't they give me a discount if I pay early?
That's your option.
They don't have to pay until September 30.
I know, but he wants to know why when he gets his bill and he pays for it, you're making money. You can make money off his money.
Absolutely.
Because you're putting it in on interest.
But he can control when he pays it.
Well, he can. That's true. That part's true. But at the same token, you guys are making money, ain't you?
We are making a little bit of interest
on the first 15 days.
And he wants that money.
But he can keep it.
He wants that discount.
He can make interest
on the first 15 days of March. Each year,
to invest it and to invest it and then bring it back out about 2 days before.
Yeah, right. 2 days before.
Hey, Dan.
Yeah.
On the first 15 days of March every year, he can come to the appeals board for taxes and as a public board, not us.
Yeah.
And he can appeal his case to them, right?
That's
assessment.
Well, he assessed too. That's all, you know.
Well, the next thing is, here a while back, you had Delmarva High School. You don't want me to say what I really think about them.
No.
Come in here and request monies. You gave them $400 for a program, for fitness program or something.
Physical fitness?
Physical fitness program. Okay. But yet, just recently, they had a fundraiser.
Laurel did?
Delmar Christian.
Oh, Delmar Christian.
Right?
Okay.
In Georgia. It ain't it in Georgetown?
Yes, it is.
And who, I don't know who all was there. You probably were there.
No, I was not.
You weren't there?
Apparently Sean Hannity.
Oh, yeah. Sean Hannity was there. But, yeah. Guess how much money they raised?
How much?
$10.
More than 400?
His fee was that much, right?
How about over $2 million?
They did a pretty good job there.
Now, you tell me, they can raise that kind of money. But then them buzzards, they still want to come in and rip us off. They want to take it out of this pocket and this pocket. Dadgummit, I'm tired of it. If they can raise that money, don't come in here and rip me off again. Pure and simple.
I understand.
And I'm tired of it.
Well, they asked us before Sean got there, though, right?
Do what?
They asked us before Sean came.
Look, let me explain something. First of all, it was a free will offering. There was nobody required to give a dime.
Right.
But they raised over $1 million, then they had a match yet.
I missed that.
Well, so they only raised $1 million, but the million allowed them to raise another $1 million.
Yeah, exactly. So that's $2 million, ain't it? And in the meantime, them buzzards come in here and get $400 out of my pocket.
So the moral of this story is the county should have a fundraiser.
No. Delmar, well, that's true. In fact, what I want to even know is why don't the public schools go in and have Sean Hannity come in and try to raise their tax dollars instead of coming into our pockets?
Then you might cut them off.
What do you mean cut them off?
As long as they stay poor, then we got to keep giving them taxes. Is that your point?
It's like this here. If they can raise the money, why should I give them both out of both pockets?
Why people don't raise money? Because then you're going to cut them off.
Old cookies.
You just said that.
I am going to cut them off because I'll tell you what, I don't want...
So you're discouraging them from being self-sufficient?
No.
Yes, you are.
If they can raise that kind of money, then they had no excuse to come in here and get $400.
That's not the point.
It is the point.
You asked why isn't Delmar raising money, and I'm telling you that if they do, then you might want to cut them off too.
No, because you know what? I would be more willing to take it out of this pocket and give it to them. But I'd be dead gum don't come in here and ask for that out of this pocket and then expect me to give it out of this pocket to boot.
Move, we adjourn.
I just walk right over here and walk in your garage.
Thank you. Been moved and seconded that we adjourn. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
The money that you pay in taxes.